about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guest in just a few moments, but we invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word has divine wisdom, grace, power, and anointing upon it. Thank you for the power that flows through our minds and our hearts as we read and meditate and walk in the wisdom of your word. Open our eyes and our hearts more and more to receive, to be very abundantly open to what your word has to say to us every day, and empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. Lord, we love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and we're privileged and honored to have with us as our phone guest today, Pastor Walter B. Hoy II. He's the president of Issues for Life Foundation, and I first even heard Pastor Hoy's name years ago when he got arrested for following Jesus. Pastor Hoy, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Oh, real good, real good. Great to have you on the broadcast today. And I tell you, Pastor Hoy, as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll kind of, in summary, share with our listeners just a little bit about why you got arrested and what you were doing. Would you share that briefly?
Sure. I was literally standing on a public sidewalk outside of an abortion clinic holding a sign that simply said, God loves you and your baby, let us help you. The sign was so impactful. The women, the sisters were just stopping, and we were talking about their decision to abort their child. Many changed their mind. We were helping women on the sidewalk where they were hungry, where they needed a place to stay. We were having a great impact. As such, the city of Oakland ultimately ended up creating a law that made it illegal for me to stand on the sidewalk and hold that sign that simply said, God loves you and your baby, let us help you. Ultimately, I was found guilty and sent to jail, served my time. And since then, I've been, you know, fighting mightily in the Black pro-life movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, praise God. Yeah, and of course, it's tragic that we live in a nation where a law can be passed with such a tremendous, well, the message again was, let us help you and your baby. And that sent you to jail. What a tragedy.
Yeah, my goodness.
So, well, Pastor Hoy, again, great to have you on. And of course, you've been a leader in the pro-life cause in the culture as a whole, in the Black community in particular, for years and years. And as we start off, I know recently you've done a series of articles that deal with different topics. And of course, the number of different topics, all of them relate to the life issue, though. But I want to just ask you this question. You're concerned about the impact that abortion has had on the Black community. Well, you're concerned about the impact abortion has had on the Black on Black community and on Black America. Tell us why.
Since 1967, over 20 million Black babies have been aborted. And when you consider the total current Black American population is about 42 million, the 20 million Black American abortions are equal to about 48% of the total Black American population. If not for abortion, the total Black American population would be over 62 million or 48% greater than it is today. Mm. And when you realize the total fertility rate for Black America is currently standing at 1.8, which is below the replacement level fertility rate of 2.1, which is the rate at which a culture, a people group, a generation can replace itself. When you consider that in less than 50 years, abortion alone has decimated over 48% of our population, you got to wonder how much more abortion will cost Black America in the next 50 years. Mm. And when you take a look at the Violence Policy Center report for 2013 and consider that in that year, 66,217 Black American homicides took place. But in the same year, there were 429,000 Black American abortions. Hmm. And you do the math, you realize there are over 35,000 abortions per month in Black America, over 8,000 abortions per week, over 1,100 abortions per day, 49 abortions per hour, or one Black abortion every 74 seconds. Mm. You understand that Black American abortions outnumber Black American homicides, mm-hmm. 69-1.
In other words, for every one homicide, 69 babies are aborted in the Black community.
Absolutely. Mm. If Black lives matter, then the human being inside the womb of his or her Black mother has to matter too.
Mm. And it's so tragic, Pastor Hoy, to think of the fact that, sadly, you just alluded to the Black Lives Matters movement. They ignore abortion, and the deaths that occur for these other reasons just pale in comparison to the numbers of Black babies that are dying through abortion every single day. Hmm. Powerful, powerful. Well, Pastor Hoy, just a question. You know, in view of that, what is it that you would say the church really needs to do in response to figures like this?
I think the church has to do better when it comes to meeting the needs of Black women. Mm-hmm. Black mothers are concerned about what it costs to feed, clothe, shelter, educate their children. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to have to step up in that arena. Another thing I think we need to do is we need to talk to the men. We need to have a closed-door conversation, you know, with the men. Men are just going to have to own up to their responsibility. If you're going to be responsible for, you know, creating a child, you need to be responsible for taking care of the mother, taking care of the child, on into the future. So I think we need to do at least those two things right there.
Hmm. Okay, then. And what specifically would you say to pastors that might be listening? What wisdom or encouragement would you give to pastors?
I would suggest that the brothers talk about it from the pulpit. Talk about it in midweek Bible studies. Bring this up. Let's talk about it. Let's get to the heart of it. There are many women that I know that have had abortions, and they're suffering in silence. But to be able to bring it up in a safe environment where they can find the help that they need, you know, to really move forward, to really get this discussion up on the table, and just what does the Bible actually say? What does the Bible actually support in this discussion? Mm-hmm. I think we can do a lot of good by just having this discussion in our churches.
Mm. Okay then. Well, Pastor, would you take time now, would you specifically pray for the church to really, for its eyes, the church's eyes, to really be open to the need for us to really aggressively address and embrace this issue as an issue critical for the church to be dealing with today? Would you pray at this time?
Let's pray. Father God, we come to you realizing that you are God and that you are God all by yourself. yourself. There's nothing you can't do. There's no problem you can't solve. There's no sickness you can't heal, Lord. We're coming to you realizing that you are not only God, but you are our God, and that you have saved us, and that you have kept us all the way. Father, we come to you in confidence, asking that you would bless our pastors, bless our leaders, bless our churches, strengthen them. Father, I ask that you would talk to the men and help them to realize what their biblical responsibility is. I pray that you would speak to the women and that you would touch their hearts and that you would make a way for them, that they would be able to fulfill the task that you have given each and every one to do. Now, Father, I'm just asking that you would step in and do what only you can do and ask this in the precious, priceless, and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Hoy. You know, you just alluded to the need for men to really step up and take responsibility as God is calling us as Christian men to do. You know, one of the big mistakes, and I'm going to ask if you'll comment on this, but often, so many times people will say in the culture as a whole and often in the black community in particular that they'll quick to say when you bring up the idea of men addressing this issue, they'll say, well, this is a woman's issue and men need to stay out of it and let women, this is their right. And, of course, the reality is men are the cause behind so many abortions, but because of the way our culture addresses it, they're allowed to stay in hiding beyond forcing and encouraging those abortions. Would you comment on that?
I would simply agree. Men have to step up and be responsible for the life and the role they played in creating that life. Mm-hmm. I think that if you are going to play that kind of a role and create life, it will create life. And you're also going to have to support the woman. And what I mean by support, well, you got to think about marrying her. The Bible's very clear. We should be abstinent until we're married. And when we're married, we need to support our families. We need to support our wives. We need to support our children. Mm-hmm. And so the brothers would be better focusing on preparing themselves to be husbands, to be fathers, to be providers. And then at that point, have children. But the way it is today, sex outside of marriage is so common. It's considered something that just won't happen no matter what. Mm-hmm. But this isn't anything new in the Bible. This isn't anything new that Jesus hasn't already dealt with. And he has essentially made it clear to us that this is not the right way to go. I think that the Bible has the answer. And I think that when we live out our lives biblically, we'll live out our lives in a way that we can look back on and say, God has blessed me.
That's true. That is so true. And it's so helpful for us to understand. God's Word is a guidebook for all of life, and it helps us to avoid so many of these pitfalls that we're struggling with in our culture today. As you just alluded to, the Word of God lets us know marriage is honorable among all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Marriage is God's plan. And if men and women would pursue the institution of marriage God's way, that solves so many problems. Yet, when that's ignored again, it creates so many as well. We're coming up on a break, Pastor Hoy, but want you to pick up. We'll pick up with that same matter on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Pastor Walter Hoy, president of Issues for Life. We'll be right back.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Can you imagine what the Pharisees thought after they learned of Saul's Damascus Road experience? Saul had been to the Sanhedrin and gotten permission to kill anybody that looked like they could have been Christian. And now he's had this life-changing experience on the Damascus Road that in an essence and an instant changed him from a killer to an apostle. We too are changed when we come in contact with the Lord. A true encounter, a true experience. You can imagine, and many a picture has depicted, the people's reaction to Paul after his conversion. He didn't act the same and he didn't talk the same. So I have a question for you. Can anyone tell that you've had an encounter with the Lord? It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about if you can quote every scripture from the Bible and give its reference. It's all about your life change and how you live. Thank him today for your transformation. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. As another election approaches, many citizens now take the process so much for granted that they're apathetic about voting. After all, since America has held elections continuously since 1619, why should this election be viewed with any particular interest? They argue that since America has survived even wars and calamities, what difference does one election or even one vote make? Perhaps they should listen to the words of the great Daniel Webster, who declared, "I apprehend no danger to our country from a foreign foe, for there is no nation on earth powerful enough to accomplish our overthrow. Our destruction, should it come at all, will be from the inattention of our people to the concerns of their government, from their carelessness and neglect. Therefore, in the upcoming elections, don't take your freedoms for granted. Make sure that you vote."
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Music of Fred Hammond, the song Let the Praise Begin. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Pastor Walter Hoy. And again, we're grateful to have him with us today. And he is the president of the Issues for Life Foundation. And Pastor Hoy, I'm going to ask if you'll kind of comment further on this. You know, as we were just speaking of before the break, men really are the engines behind lots of abortions, and we've created a climate in our culture that even though they'll say it's a woman's issue, but often women that either want to keep their baby on the fence are forced by men or boyfriends, because often the man will say, I'm not ready to be a daddy. I don't want to be a father. And, of course, it's too late at that point. But many times men are forcing or encouraging, which is actually against the law. But lots of people don't know that. But the sad reality is many times men are the cause behind so, so many abortions. What would you say in relation to that problem?
Well, I would say that I'd agree with everything that you just said. And two, I want to encourage the pastors to spend time talking to just the men. Maybe we're talking about a workshop. Maybe we're talking about a seminar. Maybe we're talking about a week-long revival. Maybe we're talking about a conference. But we need to spend time talking with men, helping them to understand what is the biblical role of man here on earth.
That's right.
It's not to have sex outside of marriage. It's not to violate any of the Ten Commandments, which was Exodus chapter 20 we opened up the show with today. It's not that. And when men understand what their biblical responsibilities are, and then we give them the tools that they need to resist the devil, resist the evil that's out there, all the temptations that are out there, I think we're going to find that men are going to make much, much better decisions. Mm-hmm. And then, two, I think we need to do the same thing in terms of, you know, talking, discussing, conferencing, workshopping for women. When women understand what the biblical role is for a woman, mm-hmm. I think she's priceless. It's worth waiting for the right man to come along, the man that God has for you. I think when the woman realizes her infinite value and how priceless she really is, I think she'll understand that. I'm not for any man. I'm for the man that God has for me.
That's right.
And I want to wait. I want to be a wife. I want to be a mother. I want to raise a family. Mm-hmm. I think when we understand, each of us, men, when we both understand our role biblically, I think then we'll be good to make some real progress.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, Pastor Hoy, I appreciate just the fact that you're pointing this back to the church just doing the job God called us to do, make disciples, teach people, lead them to come to know the Lord and teach them how to follow the Lord, to follow his word, do what it says. And, you know, as you just alluded to, one of the Ten Commandments is you shall not kill. Proper translation, you shall not take innocent life. So abortion, it is a sin. It's against the will of God 100% of the time. Now, God will forgive that sin, and it's important that we preach and proclaim that too, but not be afraid to let people know this is not God's will. And abortion is not birth control. It is it's the taking of a human life, and God, he'll forgive, but we don't need to keep going down that road. And no one is in a better position to address that than the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask this, Pastor Hoy. As far as this is concerned, again, an important issue for the church to be addressing so much more aggressively, though, I'm going to ask your thoughts about the matter that took place just this past Monday. The decision was handed down, the Supreme Court made, basically striking down the Texas law in relation to abortion and in relation to regulating abortion clinics in Texas. Would you comment, explain to our listeners a little bit more what that did, and just share your perspective on what that means?
Well, here's what happened, and I'm glad we get a chance to talk about this. The United States Supreme Court decided that a Texas abortion law, a law in Texas, in the state of Texas, that provided, all right, that abortion providers, abortion providers, maintain hospital privileges and the ambulatory surgical standards. In other words, Texas said, hey, if you're going to do abortion, then you need to have abortionists who have hospital-admitting privileges. Mm-hmm. So that should something go wrong, should a woman be hurt, this doctor has hospital-admitting privileges. Hospital-admitting privileges are given exclusively by the hospital, and doctors have to meet certain standards. They've got to be good doctors, by the way. They've got to be doctors that the hospitals want to be associated with. If you're not the kind of doctor that a hospital wants to be associated with, they don't want you a part of it. You don't have hospital admitting privileges. Texas just simply said, hey, if we're going to have abortion, and abortion providers have to maintain hospital privileges, it doesn't have to be ambulatory standards. So if it comes time for 911 to roll up and they've got to get the gurney out, there's got to be a facility such that you could come in and easily get to the woman lying there who is bleeding. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court stepped in and said, nope. When it comes to abortion providers, there's no need for them to have hospital admitting privileges. There's no need for them to meet ambulatory surgical center standards. Essentially, the Supreme Court is treating women, in my opinion, as second-class citizens when it comes mm-hmm. to abortion, mm-hmm. Because they're saying to abortion providers, you do not have to meet basic safety standards that have proven over the years to save lives.
That's right. That's right. You know, Pastor Hoyt, just the regulations Texas had set up were very minimal and just common sense wisdom. And it's tragic to think that the court that is considered by many the highest court in the land would strike such a common sense and wise law down. And it's tragic any way you look at it. So, so very sad. And tell me, what in your mind would you say would be the reason why they would even try, they would even do such a thing?
Well, I think the Supreme Court are dominated by abortion industry advocates. I mean, they can't be a ruling just based upon their concern, you know, for women. Because when it comes to just meeting basic health safety standards, this is something that has clearly been in the news when those safety standards haven't been met. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is look back at the murder trial of Pennsylvania abortionist Kermit Gosnell mm-hmm. and his quote-unquote house of horrors. We're talking about squalid facilities, the most squalid environment where this man literally was murdering children, and we've got just the most horrible environment there. Nothing safe, no safety standards were met. Mm-hmm. And so if Kermit Gosnell didn't sound the bell that, you know, if we're going to do this, let's meet basic safety standards, then I don't know what it's going to take. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, the Supreme Court is just being dominated by justices that are essentially abortion industry advocates, and they can't really care about the safety of women with this decision here.
Well, Pastor, would you, I'm going to say a word of prayer, but I want to ask in just a moment if you'll share a little bit more about just several, well, just the story behind Kermit Gosnell, who was an African-American doctor in the city of Philadelphia, who, as you said, just ran a terrible facility where he did abortions. But again, the fact that it did happen, but the fact that the Supreme Court can do what they do is so tragic any way you look at it. But let's take a moment. Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're sovereign over all things. And thank you for the fact that the Supreme Court really is not the Supreme Court, and you are. And greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Lord, more and more move upon us as the church to rise up, to really begin to pray, as well as to speak out, to stand on your truth and to speak your truth and to act on your truth in the way we stand against a tragedy like abortion. More and more open our eyes and our hearts to see that abortion is against your will, and it clearly is against what you've told us in your word. And help us to begin to act that way, to think that way, to vote that way, and to move that way as the church, knowing that we represent your righteousness, your word, and your heart. Help us to be that people you've called us to be in standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor, would you just share a little bit more about, again, some of our listeners would be familiar with Kermit Gosnell, but lots of them may not have heard the name. Would you share a little bit more about that tragedy that happened in the city of Philadelphia a few years ago?
Yes. Kermit Gosnell is a physician who was convicted of murdering three infants who were born alive during an abortion procedure. Now, he owned and operated the Women's Medical Clinic in Philadelphia. And in 2011, Kermit Gosnell was charged with 8 counts of murder, 24 felony counts of performing illegal abortion beyond the state of Pennsylvania's 24-week limit. Essentially, he was convicted of 21 felony counts of illegal late-term abortion. I mean, babies were surviving the abortion procedure, and he was taking their lives anyway. And not only the 21 felony counts, but listen to this, 211 counts of violating the 24-hour informed consent law. Now, ultimately, after he was convicted, Kermit Gosnell waived his right to appeal in exchange for an agreement not to seek the death penalty. So currently today, he's serving a life term in prison without the possibility of parole.
And, you know, the story has so many sad sides to it beyond that, because, of course, it was a filthy clinic, just way below standard in so many ways. And a number of women had died. A number of women had died under his care. Well, if you want to even use the word care, who sought abortions at his clinic as well. And just some of the details that you alluded to a few minutes ago, just so tragic. But the fact that he operated for years and years, and finally something was done, but this didn't just happen for a few months. He was in operation and had made millions of dollars doing what he did. And so just a tragic, tragic story any way you look at that, though. So
It is. In 2013, Gosnell was convicted of first-degree murder in the death of three. It was clear it was a baby. It was clear it was a human being. There was no ambiguity there. The babies were human beings, and they were murdered. And in addition to that, he was also convicted of involuntary manslaughter of one of the mothers. One of the mothers. And so we're talking about the real need for health and safety standards to be high, to be met. We're talking about you want the kind of physician that hospitals want to be associated with, the kind of physician that has hospital admitting privileges. You could just say, hey, we've got a situation here. We've got a problem here. Let's admit this woman into the hospital. Let's take care of meet her need. Hospitals are not extending hospital admitted privileges to anyone who doesn't meet those type of high standards for medical care. So the Supreme Court has simply said, no, the state of Texas doesn't have the right to require abortion providers to have the kind of doctors that are in possession of hospital admitting privileges. It's absolutely insane. I can't believe that our Supreme Court has done this. And when I think about, you know, Planned Parenthood slogan, you know, care no matter what, that's got to be the biggest joke on the planet right now. Literally, Planned Parenthood is fighting to have abortionists, to have abortion providers available to the general public, available to our women, carrying our children, doctors who do not have hospital admitting privileges or their facilities do not have ambulatory safety standards, you know, built in. This is a crying shame.
That is so true, so true. Well, we're coming up on a break one more time here, but we'll pick up there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Pastor Walter Hoy. Again, grateful to have him on today. And we'll be right back after this break.
What are students saying about Wesley Biblical Seminary? Here's Melissa Clayton.
I've been in our urban missions for 25 to 30 years. Wesley has been part of God's surprise journey for me, a wonderful fellowshipping journey of knowing the Lord and Savior like I've never known him before.
I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Come and be a part of our community. Apply today at wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Discover the difference.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says we need to follow the Bible's instruction to put on the belt of truth, even when that belt gets a little uncomfortable. He offers these insights as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, I am truth. So truth is not only a book. It is a book, but it's also a person. It's the written word, and it's the living word. So get up dressed in truth. In other words, walk around with a viewpoint that God is true, and I am not. Neither is anybody else who disagrees with Him. Now, people are going to call you arrogant. Are they going to call you narrow? That's a big one. You are so narrow. Yeah, well, if I have a heart problem, I don't want nobody cutting on my leg. I want him to narrow it to my chest. I want him to be narrow. On a one-way street, I don't want somebody driving down the other way saying, it's too narrow to only go one way on this street. I want him to be narrow. And if you're going to stand against the devil, you better get narrow, because broad is the way that leads to destruction. And narrow is the road that leads to life. You've got to be narrow enough to say, this is true and this is not, thus saith the Lord.
If you need help connecting with the power and freedom Christ died to give you, visit us at tonyevans.org for details about Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. And pray about passing these important concepts on to the people in your church or study group. We have a DVD-based Bible study, great for small groups and Sunday school classes, along with study guides and everything you need. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Vandisa singing God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today, our phone guest today, is Pastor Walter Hoy, the president of the Issues for Life Foundation. And Pastor, would you, as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll really take time to pray for the Church of Jesus Christ to really become much more courageous in preaching and teaching about the life issue, realizing that if we preach and teach about it, so many more babies will be saved and lives and families will be preserved from the devastation of abortion. Would you lift that up in prayer, please?
thank you, Joseph. I want to agree with Pastor Tony Evans. We just heard him on the radio. Mm-hmm. He simply quoted from the scripture that Jesus Christ is truth. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, or Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the truth. It's my prayer that as a people, we come to understand that it's the truth of Christ that matters. Mm-hmm. It's the truth of Christ that should guide us, lead us. It's the truth of Christ that is our standard. The truth of Christ is what determines right or wrong, or the whether we should go left or right. It's the truth of Christ. It's the narrow way. Mm-hmm. So I'm praying that we, as a church, become bold enough to stand on the truth of Christ, not on what's politically correct, not on what may be acceptable in our culture today, but the truth mm-hmm. of Christ. And if what we're facing doesn't match up to the truth, if what we're being asked to comply with or go along with or somehow support, if it's not the truth of Christ, God, give us the strength, give us the boldness to stand and stand, therefore, on the truth of Christ. Mm-hmm. Father God, I ask that you would just meet our needs as only you can, that you would do what only you can do. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Hoy, in this last segment, I'm going to ask if you'll comment on this. You know, of course, we're in the midst of election season, and you know, something that, of course, we'd want to encourage every listener to do is find out where the candidate, and of course, we're not speaking of only the presidential candidates, but all the candidates in any given elections that will take place in the near future, find out where they stand on the issue of abortion, life, and the issue of abortion as well. Because, you know, one thing that I think is very, very true, we as believers should not support candidates that think it's okay to kill babies, in view of the fact that what God's word clearly says. So if they find out what your candidate stands, how they stand on the issue of standing for life and against abortion. If they support abortion, I believe no candidate that supports abortion is fit for office. Because if you can't defend the most innocent of citizens, what kind of character can you possibly have? But would you comment on that issue, that matter?
Well, number one, we are privileged to be born in America. That's something that God blessed us with. So there's no way we should not participate by way of casting your vote in the political process.
Right.
I think we should all register to vote if we have not taken the time to do that. Mm-hmm. I think we should become registered voters and active voters and put on our calendar that when it comes time to vote, we know how to do that. Voting is something that can be easily done today. You don't even have to go to the voting booth. You can just simply vote at home if you're absent the ballot. I think every church, every pastor, every leader should encourage their congregation, to encourage their people to be registered voters. And I would encourage everyone to vote their values, not just simply vote, but vote what you know to be true. Mm-hmm. And if a candidate or a piece of legislation does not promote what's true, then you cannot support that. You have to also keep in mind that God is in control, that God has brought a people through dark times, that we face dark times as a people. So we don't have to worry about where the victory is coming from. We don't have to worry about, is this going to be a situation that's going to be so bad that God can't handle it? No. God's already proven that regardless of who our leaders are or who our leaders will be, he's still God. He's still on the throne. Prayer changes things. God will see you through. That's biblical truth. Mm-hmm. And as voters, we can stand on that biblical truth.
That's right. That's right. I appreciate you mentioning that. And of course, as you said, as believers, to be good citizens, we certainly should be involved in the voting process then. So just a question here, too. You know, I think of this. Many times, believers, one of the ways that we can get more involved as the church in our local community with Standing for Life is getting involved with supporting or working with the local pregnancy clinic in your community. And, you know, Pastor Hoyt, sadly, many times you have believers, pastors, or members of churches, they don't even know what a pregnancy clinic is, don't know where it's located, and don't know what they do. Would you comment on why it's so important for us to get involved with working with ministries like the Ministry of a Pregnancy Clinic?
Well, number one, I think that one of the ways that we can be the hands and the heart, the eyes and the ears of Christ is by getting involved with a pregnancy care center where women, free of charge, can receive medical care. They can talk to a doctor. They can talk to a nurse. And not simply medical care. They can also find clothes. They can find food for their children, for their babies. Mm-hmm. I know of many women who came into a pregnancy care center, pregnant, got their ultrasound, actually saw their child move within their own womb, come to an understanding that this is a live, living, breathing human being that God has created in His image, mm-hmm. and decided to keep the baby. But then what happens after that? Well, these same pregnancy care centers have been standing by the woman, supporting her. Mm-hmm. And so this is an easy call in my book. If you're a pastor, you're leading a church, you want to get behind the pregnancy care center. There are several of them in your area. You should make an appointment, get to know them, talk to the leadership, understand how you can best help them. In some cases, maybe your church can bring clothes. Maybe mm-hmm. your church can provide the baby formula. Maybe your church can be a part of providing what this mother stands in need of. Maybe a church can provide volunteers that could serve as biblical counselors that could break out the truths of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's just so many things that a church can do. So I really would like to encourage all the brothers out there to get involved, to get to know your pregnancy care center, get involved, get behind them, and believe me, you can see Christ move when it moves in the heart of a woman who's facing a pregnancy. She just needs help. Oh, my goodness. We could do this together if we work together.
That's right. That's right. You know, I have the privilege of pastoring St. James AME Church in Leland, Mississippi. And I remember there was an occasion where we had a representative from a local pregnancy clinic who came while I was serving in the Delta, actually in another location in particular. But she came. And I asked her, just for educational purposes for the congregation, what percentage of your clientele that you serve would be African-American? And the reason I was asking, of course, is because sadly in our community, in the black community, often, sometimes leadership, sometimes members will say, well, that's not our issue, or that's not our concern, or we keep our babies. You hear things like that. But sadly, you have many people that are so misinformed on this. I asked her, what percentage of your clientele is black? And I was thinking she'd probably say 50-60%. She said 90%. And so to say that's not our issue is so tragically, it's an ignorant response. And the fact is, it's just so, so wrong. Because certainly, if ever this was an issue that should be addressed by the black community and the black church in particular, this is one. This is one.
There's no question. You're absolutely right about that. I mean, even if you take a look at the Alan Guttmacher Institute data, the Alan Guttmacher, the not-so-former research arm of Planned Parenthood. So I'll even take Planned Parenthood's data. According to the Alan Guttmacher Institute, black Americans, representing 14% of the population, are responsible for 28% of all abortions in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're disproportionate. And so, essentially, when a black pastor stands up in his pulpit, perhaps his entire congregation is post-abortive. This is certainly a biblical issue, a life issue. It's certainly an issue that the black American church has to face. It's our issue. It's our women. These are our children, our baby boys, our baby girls, our future. This is definitely our issue, and I wholeheartedly want to encourage all of our leadership to get more involved, find out what the impact of abortion is in your city, in your neighborhood, in your community, and then preach the truth of Christ. Help us understand that the child that God has created in the womb, that God has breathed the breath of life to. He's alive, living, breathing, and being, that he's also gifted, that he's also called, that he's also purposed. And when we take that life, we have no idea what we're losing.
That's right.
That may have been what we needed.
That is so true, so true.
And we lost it.
Amen, amen. Well, Pastor, our time is just about gone. Would you tell our listeners, if some of our listeners are wanting to learn more about your ministries, Issues for Life, or some of the writings, that the recent articles you've done, how would they get in touch with you, or how would they go to your website to learn more about your ministry and your work?
Well, I appreciate this. For anyone that would like to know more about what we're doing here, go to the Issues, and that's plural, Issues, the number 4, life.org. That's our website, Issues, the number 4, life, L-I-F-E, .org. That's our website. On our website, we've got an online library, and we've got a first source, second source, third source. You can find all types of information that has to do with life and the life issue. And, of course, on the first floor of our library, you can find my archive, where I've written extensively about this issue as it applies to Black America. So, again, that's Issues, the number 4, life.org.
All righty then. Okay, well, thank you again, Pastor Hoare. And let me mention, too, as we close our time, again, there's such a need for all of us as believers to understand that there are so many sides to the life issue that all of us need to be always listening, learning, and growing in our understanding of how it touches us, because of all the issues our society is grappling with, this is one of the most serious. In fact, I would consider it the most serious civil rights issue we've ever faced in the history of this nation. Yet, tragically, you have lots of people that are very, very ignorant, don't really know much about it, know much about the laws surrounding it, and how it's affecting our culture today. So getting informed, not staying ignorant, is so important for all of us then. So any last words in the last 20 seconds you'd like to share, Pastor Hoare?
I'd simply like to say, consider this. Without life, nothing matters. Doesn't matter what you've achieved in terms of civil rights. Without life, nothing matters.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Hoare, for being our guest on the Hour of Intercession today. We appreciate you so much taking out time.
God bless you. Enjoyed it. Take care.
Amen. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.